Good morning. With us on a Friday morning, our political observer, Alan Chartok. Is this tongue-in-cheek, Alan? Political corruption museum board forms and Zephyr teach-outs involved.
Listen, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. There are some promotional types who will make sure that they can call attention to the unending record of political corruption in Albany. Some people think that the minute they get elected, it's a license to steal. And it's very hard to change that, despite the fact that we keep carting these people off to jail with handcuffs on. But they never learn. Should that influence what we think about everybody? No, of course not. There's some very good people in the legislature. But there will always be those people who think that they can beat the system and convert the public good into private wealth. And when you see something like Malcolm Smith, who's now been convicted of trying to bribe his way on to a ticket in New York so that he can run for mayor, you need permission if you're not in the party from the other party, so he bribes them, and they get convicted too. Well, you got to say, well, since there's so much of this going on, this is the part we find out about. What about the part we don't know anything about, which has got to be endemic?
Now to some very serious news. The prosecutor, Preet Bharara, in the case against former New York State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, now Assemblyman Sheldon Silver, is denying that he created a media firestorm over the charges.
Well, I'm a great admirer of Preet Bharara. And, you know, he is the man on the white horse leading the charge against political corruption. And, of course, the fact that he gave a press conference and that he spoke the way he did, but very carefully, shows two things. Number one, of course, the media is going to take this thing up and do what it did with it. On the other hand, he's a smart enough lawyer, so he kept saying alleged and innocent until proven guilty. But does that really mean that there wasn't a media firestorm caused by the fact that he's gave these talks? The answer, of course, is that he is leading the charge and wants to create a situation where people are eternally vigilant about corruption. It's an interesting balancing act.
Nevertheless, the lawyers for Assemblyman Silver are arguing that this should discount the case.
Well, yeah. I mean, the moment crusading district attorney or prosecutor gets up and gives a press conference, it's big news. And the fact that he called attention to it is big news. But you see, the thing is that most of us know that there are legal things that you always say, like at the bottom of the email, this is intended only for, you know, personal or professional use or whatever the lawyers are saying. That's just in case somebody gets a hold of it. You protect yourself by getting out front.
We haven't spoken in any depth about Hillary Clinton and the email debacle, some are calling it. She's asked the State Department to review emails. Is this going to hurt her in her presumed run for president?
Well, you know, my favorite movie on the subject is Robert Redford in The Candidate, in which his advisor says to him, listen, if there's anything at all, we're going to get it out now so that later on we say, oh, that's just old stuff. I don't believe this is going to hurt her. And I believe also that this is endemic. We have a governor who wants to destroy all emails after 90 days. We have others who do not submit their materials for public inspection. There's a reason for that. And we know that administrations have done this time after time after time. However, there is now a law. And I think this is going to be a warning shot over everybody's bow that, you know, you'd better obey the law from now on. I think it's like Nannygate. You see something happen, the first person takes the brunt of it, and after that, everybody says, uh-oh, I got to watch this.